This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So we're about to start. If I could just ask some of the brothers if we can move towards this little bit to, when the sisters are done, and also move up as the brothers are coming. The same thing with the sisters. You can come to the right before the camera. So there's this three rows in the front. Their sisters are all huddled up at the back. So if you can just move up, please, as we want to give space to the sisters that are coming, inshallah. If I can ask all the younger girls, if you want to just move up, let's do that. Thank you so much. Inshallah. And same thing with the brothers. If we can just move up, because as the brothers come in, inshallah. And Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So, if the volunteers can please go around, you know what we need to do with the sister side and the brother side. Inshallah, you all know the adab. We've covered the etiquettes of the majlis of the Quran. We've covered this multiple times. So, let's give some of due respect. He has traveled all the way to share some knowledge with us, inshallah. So, if we can have the children with you, if you brought your child, you know where they should be. They should be with you. Where are your parents? Are you his parent? Okay, wow, mashallah. Amazing. All right, inshallah. Jazakallah khair.
Yeah, it's fine. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam. Ala ashraf al-anbiya wa mursaleen. نبينا وقدوتي محمد عليه أفضل الصلاة وأزكى التسليم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. We're very privileged, all of us here, because we get to start this off a little bit differently. Like to invite Sister Lamisha to the front, and you could bring the young man too if you like. Yeah, you can have this. So, Sister Lamisha, I've got your name correct, right? Okay, Sister Lamisha is here to take her shahada. And she's local. So we expect not for you to pepper her with advice and bury her in books, but to be her brothers and sisters and uncles and aunts and support. Sister Lamisha, nobody forced you to be here, huh? You're here under your own free will?
Yeah.
No one forced you to be here. Okay, are you ready? Okay, so you're going to repeat after me in English first, and then we'll give Arabic a shot, all right?
Okay.
I bear witness. That there is no God.
That there is no God.
Except Allah.
Except Allah.
And I bear witness.
That Muhammad.
Is the slave.
Is the slave.
And messenger.
And the messenger.
Of Allah.
Of Allah.
Allahu Akbar. Takbir. That's right. Yeah. Do you want to give it a shot in Arabic? Your turn. You ready too?
Yeah, I'm ready to do it.
Okay, let's do it. Say, repeat after me.
Da, da, da.
You gotta repeat after me though, buddy.
I bear witness.
That there is no God.
That there is no God.
Except Allah.
Except Allah.
Very good. And I bear witness.
I bear witness
that Muhammad,
the Muhammad,
is the messenger of Allah.
This is Allah.
Takbir. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that be his words today and his dying words, inshallah. You want to give it a shot in Arabic? Mm-hmm. Arabic?
Yeah.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
Ash-hadu.
Allah.
Allah. ilaha
ilaha
illallah
illallah.
Natural, right? almost not yet.
Wa ashhadu
anna
Muhammadan
Rasulullah. Takbir. She speaks better Arabic than some of you. So congratulations to the sister. Do you want to?
No.
We'll talk later with you, okay? So congratulations to the sister. It takes a lot of courage. Yeah, you want to do it? We'll do it later in the office, okay?
Yeah.
All right? But please, again, get her number, be her support, be there for her. You know, make yourself known, inshallah, in a helpful way. And thank you so much for having the courage to be here with us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Takbir. Takbir. It's a beautiful way to start off tonight because it's family night. Yeah, I know this mic, huh? It's the trouble of having these mics with glasses because, you know, the glasses get in the way of the mic and the mic gets in the way of the glasses. Yeah, better? Okay. So we're here tonight to talk about family and to talk about the example that Musa alayhi salam offers to us. To be a parent, to be a good human being, and to be a father. So it's a great thing that we start out with a testimony of faith, a shahada, with someone who brings a child. And I was telling the Misha back, you know, in the office that I had a similar story. When I came to Islam in 2010, subhanAllah, 13 years ago, it was very soon after the birth of my first child. And for people who have an intact fitrah, who have that innate disposition, you register that you have a degree of responsibility over this person. And so somebody who is sincere, they will look to try to be the best parent that they can be. And so for me, at that point, I had been exposed enough to Islam and knew about enough about Islam that I said, well, this is the best thing I'm aware of. So I better start applying myself and educating myself so that I can be that person. And really, that's not too much different from the choice that every single one of us has to make when it comes to how do we be the best parent of our kids. Too many of us, unfortunately, we're in cruise control. We take little bits of parenting advice here and there, or we do what we've seen other people do. Rarely do we go back to the Quran and we look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala educates us about how we should think about parenthood, how we should think about family, how we should think about what are the virtues and the values and the things that we're supposed to embody, how are we supposed to act, how are we supposed to react to different situations. So this is something that began as another talk that I gave, but I completely restructured it and furthered it when it comes to the story of Musa alayhi salam, particularly as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells it in Surah Al-Qasas, and how it shines a light particularly on fatherhood and how important fatherhood is, and what are some of the essential responsibilities and characteristics that fatherhood should bring out in us. But it's not something that's particular to men. It's something that everybody has to know about, because parenthood has transferable skills. When it comes to being a mother or being a father, there are certain skills that both of you have to have. There's a lot of overlap. And if you're a young person, then even more so, because one day that's going to be you. And it might also help inform the way that you relate to your parents. We live in a world right now that is sort of at war with men in general and fathers. And you can make an argument that it's at war with everybody. I think that's true too. It's also at war with women, but in a different way. There's a very specific way that the society that we live in, there's a war going on against fathers. Anybody here watch Disney movies? Young people? I'm sure there's some. I've gone across the country and I've asked this question and nobody's been able to give me an answer. Can you think of a Disney movie in which there is a good example of a good father in a Disney movie? a Disney movie that has like a role model father figure, somebody that is considered noble, somebody that's considered someone that you would like to be or that you would like your father to be. I couldn't think of one either. In fact, if you look at Disney movies, and they've been going for a while, so they've had plenty of opportunities, you'll find that the father is usually rather a symbol of oppression. You'll find that the father is the one that's standing in the way of the child realizing their dreams, living the life they want to live, or the father's out of the picture entirely, either removed or dead or something like that. This isn't an accident. This isn't an accident. And it actually plants a seed in our children's minds from a very young age that fathers aren't really maybe that important. Or even worse, that your father's expectations of you and your father's demands upon you are actually holding you back and standing in the way. And the only thing for you to do is to rebel against them one day to become free and liberated. This has gotten worse as the years have gone on. We've seen with the LGBTQ movement that as people have pushed for gay parents and families that are made of two quote-unquote fathers and two quote-unquote mothers, that there's been a push to try to make us think that parents are interchangeable and substitutable, that the father is not so essential after all. If I have two women, it's just as good as two men. Or if I have two men, it's just as good as two women. And this is something that completely defies logic and reason and faith and tradition. To be a man in this era is very, very difficult. You are what they call a cishet male. You're somebody who is trying to be part of a productive family, and you're considered a potential oppressor. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us something very, very different about gender. He tells us that gender is something that structures our purpose in life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything in this world, zawjain, he said, in two pairs, al-dhakara wal-untha, male and female. And we derive our purpose from this distinction. We come in with a certain sort of identity or something that we're given, this maleness or this femaleness. And it's kind of like a raw material that we have to develop and change into something else. So you see that everybody has a life stage. So you start out as young men and young girls. And one day, you're going to be a mother. Or one day, you're going to be a father. And then decades later, you're going to be a grandmom, or you're going to be a grandfather, and you're going to have people under you. And so this is the natural way, if you understand this, that you have an expectation in life for how life should move and how should you develop and grow. But every single stage of development, it brings something out of you and it asks something from you. So when it comes to fatherhood, fatherhood is something where a lot is asked of you. A lot is asked of you to be a father. And if you look at the story of Musa alayhi salam, particularly in Surah Al-Qasas, you find this amazing story of character development. You see that Musa alayhi salam started out in a certain situation, but he keeps growing and growing and growing and developing along the way until he kind of reaches this point of kamal, of completeness, and of reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can separate Musa's life into three acts, if it were like a play or a stage. Act one would be as a youth. Musa alayhi salam is a young man. And then later, Musa alayhi salam, he has the situation where he has to leave his homeland, and he's in the stage where he gets married. And then the third stage, act three, is when he's coming back and he's going to be commissioned to be a prophet. And the amazing thing is you see step by step by step how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes Musa alayhi salam and keeps building him and building him and building him. But it's not without hardship, and it's not without trial, and it's not without test. He throws things at Musa alayhi salam to see how he's going to react. And we already have a tremendous benefit for parents right here. Sometimes as parents, we want to swoop in and save our kids from every single trial and test. But being a parent sometimes is about letting your kid fail,
putting them in a situation that proves what they're made of, and then helping them make sense of how it turned out and how they responded. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Musa alayhi salam, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَاسْتَوَى آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. When Musa alayhi salam had grown up, he attained maturity, his full strength, and was mentally mature, Allah says, we bestowed upon him two things, judgment and knowledge. He says, حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. And thus do we reward the doers of good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right here, he tells us two of the things that every single young person should be after. Judgment, sound judgment, being able to differentiate between good and evil, being able to tell who's a good friend and a good influence, being able to tell who's a bad friend and a bad influence, being able to see a show on a screen and say, this is good or this is bad, and I need to stay away from it. The second thing he said was knowledge. A lot of the stuff, the ability to judge between right and wrong, it's not something that you can necessarily figure out for yourself. Every single person has a responsibility and a duty to educate themselves. And alhamdulillah, you're blessed in this community to have Sheikh Ahmed and other people in the city that are very, very capable of helping you in your quest for knowledge to understand, to be able to differentiate between what's right and wrong and what's good and bad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is how we reward the doers of good. So there's this kind of synergistic effect. If you do good, if you put good out there, if you try, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to keep on increasing you in that good. And in this case, some of the fundamental good is judgment and knowledge. What happens in the story next is very, very interesting. And honestly, it's something that could happen today. It's something that could happen right here in Atlanta. What happens? Musa alayhi salam, he enters into the city, and he finds two people fighting, right? One person in the fight is from his team, his crew, his gang, his group. And the other person is from the other guys, the bad guys. And so he's in a situation where the person who's from his tribe or his group calls upon him for help. And so what does he do? He rushes to help. He says, hey, that's my boy. He's getting jumped. He's getting mugged. He's getting beat up. I have to step in to help him. So he steps in to help him, and he rears back, and he strikes the man, the other man, and he kills him by accident. So Musa alayhi salam is tested. What's the nature of the test? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing to see that judgment and that knowledge that he gave him. Is it going to hold up to a certain situation? The situation is you have to choose between doing what's right and doing what everybody else expects of you. Everybody expects you to show up for your tribe. Everybody expects you to show up for your people, your clan, your posse, whatever it is. But that's easy. What's hard is doing the right thing, as Allah says in Surah An-Nisa, even if it's against you, even if it's against your family, even if it's against your tribe. That's real justice. It's easy to be just, quote unquote just, when the person that you hate their guts anyway did something wrong. And then you drop the hammer on them and throw the book at them and say, you did this and you did that. What's hard is when it's your best friend or your family member or someone you're close to. They fall afoul. They do something wrong. And now the just thing is to hold them accountable. So Musa alayhi salam, he's tested. And to be honest, he fails the test. He doesn't do what he should do. But something really, really important redeems him. And what redeems him is his judgment. The judgment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. He recognizes the evil of what he did. And that is a tremendous source of hope for every single one of us, because every single one of us makes mistakes. Every single one of us fails tests every single day. It's built into life. It's going to happen. But the true test is what you do after. Do you follow up a bad deed with a good deed like the Prophet ﷺ said? Whoever follows a bad deed with a good deed, it erases it. Because the most important thing is that you don't lose two in a row. Is that you turn the ship around. And so Musa ﷺ, he says, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي. He said, "My lords, I have wronged myself. فَغْفِلِّي فَغَفَرَ لَهُ." He says, I have wronged myself. He's asking Allah to forgive him. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. Indeed, Allah says he is the forgiving and the merciful. He's not done there. Musa alayhi salam, قَالَ رَبِّ بِمَا أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ فَلَنْ أَكُونَ ظَاهِرًا لِلْمُجْرِمِينَ. Look at this. To be forgiven, to set yourself on a new path, you have to have change. You have to get the lesson. If you're in a classroom and you learn 2 + 2 = 4, right? Now it's time for the test. You get 2 + 2 = you write 5. Red pen, wrong, it's 4, okay. That's excusable. But then what's going to happen the next time? Maybe you didn't study. Maybe you didn't prepare. You have to learn your lesson and act differently next time. Musa alayhi salam, he makes a promise. He says, فَلَنْ أَكُونَ ظَاهِرًا لِلْمُجْرِمِينَ. I'm not going to assist the criminals. I'm not going to help wicked people anymore. This thing that I did, I recognized it as evil. And next time it's going to be different. Not only am I sorry, I'm going to prove that I'm sorry by resolving to act differently next time. So we see Musa alayhi salam, he's not just in cruise control. He wants to get better. He wants to improve. He wants to change. And everything that comes his way, he interacts with it as an opportunity to learn and an opportunity to get better. Every time you increase in knowledge, Allah is going to test you. Allah is going to increase you in responsibility. One of the things Musa alayhi salam learned here is the importance of having the right crowd around you, your friends. If you have a good crew around you, people that come to the masjid, people who do good things, people that care about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thinks, they care about doing things that Allah is happy with and approves of, then you're going to be fine. But if you find that the people that you're surrounded with are bad people, they're asking you to forget about what Allah wants, they're trying to distract you from Allah, then this is something that's going to have an effect. And you're going to have to face a fork in the road one day. And you're going to have to decide whether you're going to choose improvement or choose to stay and do whatever you've already been doing. The story continues. You guys know how it goes. Musa alayhi salam, he's tested again with the same exact thing. The next day, same situation, same guy in another fight with somebody else. And he's called upon to jump in and get involved again. So here we're going to see what he's made of. Did Musa alayhi salam, is he really committed to improvement? Is he really somebody who's going to pass the test? And he did. This time he actually, and even though he almost came into getting tempted and falling into the same mistake, he stopped himself. But he realized something. He realized that he had to get out of this scenario. And there's somebody who comes into the town and says, "Musa, they know that you killed a man. They're after you. You got to get out of here." And so he leaves. And he leaves, but he says something on his way out when he's going. He said, "My Lord, save me from the wrongdoing people." There's again his commitment to change. Previously he said, "Oh Allah, I don't want to help the criminals." Imagine, we can make an example of today, like somebody who's involved in gangs or involved in pushing drugs and things like that. He's wrapped into the game. But he says, "I don't want to help the criminals anymore. I want to change. I want to get right." But he's in a situation or he's in a scenario where it's tough to get himself out of. Now he realizes, he asks Allah to save him from this people that are doing wrong. And so he's forced to out. He's ready to sacrifice and he's ready to make a change. We have another hadith about this same principle. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told a story about somebody who killed 99 people. Very well-known hadith. And so this person, he comes to a Christian monk or something like that, a scholar, and he says, "Is God going to forgive me? I killed 99 people." It's like the TikTok, like, "What's your body count?" "I killed 99 people. Is God going to forgive me?" And the Christian guy's like, "Nope, no way." It's like, 99? Dang, right? And then so, what's the response? He kills another guy. He kills him. Make it even 100. Then what happens? He goes to a sheikh, he goes to an alim, he goes to somebody who's a true Muslim. And he says, look, I killed 100 people. Is Allah going to forgive me? And the sheikh says to him, he says, yes, but you have to get out of here. You can't stay where you are. Look at what the environment that you're in and surrounding yourself with. The environment that you're surrounding yourself with is pulling you into this life of crime, this life of sin, this life of disobedience. So then something amazing happens. He leaves and he dies on the road. He has the intention. He makes the sacrifice. He's on the road. He's going to someplace that's better. A new start, new leaf, turning over a new page. But he dies on the way. And so the angels come down and they're starting to argue. They argue with each other. What's going to happen to him? Is he going to hell or is he going to heaven? Is he going to be saved or is he going to be punished? And some angels say, no, 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 come on. He was trying to change. Look. He almost made it. And then the other angel is saying, he didn't do a single good thing. He killed 100 people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intervenes and makes him just scoot that much closer to the place where he was going towards. And so he's forgiven. And so he's rewarded. He didn't do a single thing. But he resolved to change and he acted on it and he was ready to sacrifice. That's act one. Musa alayhi salam. Ready to learn. Ready to improve. Ready to sacrifice. So he's on the run. He's on the lam, actually, because he's a wanted man now. Public enemy number one. He gets to Median, this place that he's not from. He has no idea, no relations there. And he comes across a scenario. He comes across a watering hole. And there's all these different tough guys there with their animals, and they're making their animals drink from the watering hole. Except there's one group of animals that's off to the side. There's two women by them. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when he came to the wells, he found there a crowd of people watering their flocks. And he found on the side, there were two women who were holding their animals back from going and drinking. So Musa approached them. He said, what's going on? Why aren't you giving your animals the water that they need? They said, we're not going to water our animals until these guys get out of here. It's like those neighborhoods you don't go in after sundown, right? Street smarts. You know that some places are dangerous. SubhanAllah. Back in the day, you know, my first job when I converted to Islam was to work in a Muslim restaurant. It was a Syrian restaurant. And they made pizzas. And I did everything. I was the delivery guy. I was the cook. I was the waiter. I did everything. And there was a neighborhood that was a very, very dangerous neighborhood. If I was sent to go make a delivery in that neighborhood, my boss would say, okay, all the cash you've been carrying all day, give it to me. In case there was a stick-up or something like that. This is that type of neighborhood because you understand that something might go down. This is the situation. These ladies understand. Listen, if we try to water our flocks here, something might happen to us. Somebody might grab us. Somebody might harm us. Somebody might try to pull something funny. And so we're holding back and waiting until they get out of here. Musa alayhi salam sees an opportunity to do the right thing. And so listen to what he does, because a man is judged by how he responds and treats the most vulnerable people around him. A man can be judged by how he treats the most vulnerable people around him. And so Musa alayhi salam, Allah tells us, فَسَقَى لَهُمَا ثُمَّ تَوَلَّى إِلَى الظِّلِّ فَقَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. So what he did was he took the animals and he brought them down to the water. And there's other hadith that indicate that there might have been some sort of super heavy cover on top of the water, like a well, that took like multiple men to lift. And Musa alayhi salam lifted it himself. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. So he does this for them. And then what does he do? It said in the ayah, then he went back and he sat in the shade. He didn't hang around. He didn't ask for any sort of payment. He didn't try to take advantage of the situation. Look what I did for you. Now what are you going to do for me? He turned back to the shade and he sat down. And he talked to Allah. And he said, my Lord, indeed, I am for whatever good that you would send down to me in need. I need your help. I need the good that you're about to send me. Because he trusted Allah. But he didn't see the way. He didn't know what was going to happen. Musa alayhi salam was ready to do the right thing. Even though he's the one in need. He says he's faqir. He's in need of help. And yet, he has the opportunity and he helps other people. He does the right thing, even if it's not going to benefit him. Look at the difference here once he's put in a position of responsibility. And men especially, I want you to think about this. As you grow, as you're given responsibility, it takes something out of you. It calls you to be better. It calls you to be on a level higher. And for the parents, you have to think about when you've got young men and young women that are coming up, the more responsibility you give to them, you're offering them an opportunity to prove themselves. Musa alayhi salam is given a huge opportunity and he aces this test. A plus. He does the right thing. He trusts Allah. And so look at what's going to happen. What happens next? One of the two women come to him, walking, and Allah says, walking with shyness. They say, excuse me, she said, indeed, my father invites you so that he can reward you for what you did for us. So then Musa alayhi salam walks back with this woman to her father. And the hadith tells us that this wasn't just any type of walking. Musa alayhi salam told her, I'm going to walk in front of you and you tell me where to go. Why? Men, do you ever want to be behind a woman on the staircase? No, you do not. Because the devil's there to tempt you to look at this or to look at that. Musa alayhi salam, look at how smart he is. He's only concerned with Allah. He said, okay, I'll go, but I'm going to walk in front and you tell me where to go. If Musa alayhi salam had a smartphone, imagine how his newsfeed would be. Imagine how his viewing history would be. It would be squeaky clean. That was how he disciplined himself. That was how in control of himself he was. And he foresaw it. He wasn't just going to go get into a situation and be like, oh, you know, Allah's going to forgive me, no problem. One look is allowed. It's the two looks that are the problem. No, he was smart. He saw ahead. He said, this is a dangerous situation. I might be tempted. I'm going to be proactively righteous about this. I'm going to ask her to put myself ahead. And then she's going to tell me where to go. Even if it looks funny, I don't care. You guys see some of the UFC fighters? They got all these half-naked women around them. What do some of the Muslims do? They look down. They cover their eyes. They cover their face. Honor. Honor. They don't care how they look because they're relating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they're not worried about what other people think of them. So one of the women, they get back to the father, and what does one of the women say? قَالَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا يَا أَبْتِي اسْتَأْجِرْهُ إِنَّ خَيْرَ مِنَ اسْتَأْجَرْتَ الْقَوِي الْأَمِينَ. She says, oh my father, hire this guy. Certainly the best person that you can hire is somebody who is strong and someone who is trustworthy. So the men have to listen up and take notes here. The best person, the most useful type of man that there is someone who is strong and trustworthy. Men, we have responsibilities. We have to protect. All these women here are our duty to protect. God forbid, if somebody comes to the masjid right now looking for trouble, we're ready. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran a couple different times to take the means to prepare every sort of preparation so that nobody can mess with us. We don't want trouble. But we have a responsibility and a duty to protect. Strong and trustworthy. And these two things have to go together. It's not enough to just be strong. Conor McGregor's strong, but he's not trustworthy. And so what good does his strength do? His strength is wasted. His strength is actually oppression. But if you're strong and you're trustworthy, then you're going to be someone who puts that strength to good use, that puts it to righteous causes. And someone who's going to protect everybody. Look at how, again, I don't mean to beat the dead horse on the UFC thing, but look at how much influence Habib has had on the world. On the world. And people who didn't know about Habib before the fight with Conor McGregor, after that fight, so many people, their eyes are open. What is this guy? He acts respectfully. He acts with honor. He's got discipline. Huge dawah for the Muslims, despite maybe some fiqh issues with striking the face, etc. We're not getting into that. But look at the role model and the example that he put forth. This was someone taking the lessons of Musa alayhi salam and applying them in a new way. Someone who is strong and trustworthy. How does the father respond? The father says, yeah, certainly, I wish to wed you to one of these two my daughters. Basically, forget about just hiring you. He sees value. He understands. He says, you know what? You can marry one of my daughters on the condition that you serve me for 8 years. And if you complete 10, then that'll be even better. But I don't want to make it difficult on you. And you will find me, if Allah wills, from among the righteous. One of the benefits that we take from this part of the story, for 8 years, Musa, alayhi salam, had a mentor. He had someone to look up to. He had someone to emulate. We're not told in the Quran about this period of his life. It skips over it. But the fact that there's an older male that sees his value and takes him under his wing is extremely significant. And I guarantee you, in this community and in every community, you have young men who are thirsty for mentors, for people who will take them under their wing. Maybe they have an interest or a hobby or a talent. Maybe they like your career or what you do, or they just like sort of how you carry yourself. And so you have the opportunity, a tremendous opportunity, to take them under your wing and to show them, just like this person showed to Musa alayhi salam. That's act two. This period of his life, act two. Curtain drawn on act two. Act three. We have a situation. Now Musa alayhi salam, his time is up. 8 years he spent. Now he's ready to go back. And one of the most amazing and revealing parts of his story is about to happen. They're traveling through the desert, him and his family. Now he's, look at where he's come from. He started from a troubled youth, getting mixed up in this sort of violence. And now he's got a family, he's got a wife, he's got kids, and he's traveling with his family. He's full man, he's top G. That's top G. That's Sigma male, okay? Is having a family, having kids that you're responsible for, that you're taking care of. He's traveling through the desert, and he sees a fire. There's no highway, there's no police, there's no rest stop. This is the middle of nowhere. He's traveling with his wife and his kids, and he sees a fire. What's his reaction? What does Musa alayhi salam say? فَلَمَّا قَضَى مُوسَى الْأَجَلِ وَسَارَ بِأَهْلِهِ آنَسَ مِنْ جَانِبِ طُورِ نَارَهِ قَالِ لِلْأَهْلِ أُمْكُثُوا إِنِّي آنَسْتُ نَارًا. He says, hey, you guys, stay here. I see a fire. I'm going to go check out what that fire is. Risky? Yeah, very risky. Who's going to be there? It might be someone who wants to hurt him, someone that wants to rob him, somebody that wants to hurt his family. But look at the sacrifice of this man. This is full father mode. Every single father in the room, you know that you would make this sacrifice for your kids and for your family. And this is what Musa alayhi salam does. You guys stay here. You're safe here. I'm going to go check out what it is. Maybe he's going on the possibility that it's going to help them out. He says, maybe there's going to be news of like how do I can go, like, turn left, turn right, whatever. Or at least I'll be able to get part of the fire and we'll be able to, you'll be able to warm yourselves by the fire, he says. Look at how Musa alayhi salam is exhibiting these sorts of characteristics. He's protecting. He's sacrificing. He's always concerned with his family's best interest. And he's always concerned with facilitating what is best for them. I'm sure many of us, I had a father, I mean, my father's still alive, alhamdulillah, may Allah guide him, who he went day in and day out to a job that he hated, a job where he was disrespected, a job that was very, very difficult and physically demanding. But he did it every single day for 40 years, just for his kids. And I know every single father in this room is the same. And every single father in this room had a father that was the same. This is what it means to be a man. And this is what it means to be a father. You will take on every hardship. and even smile about it if you even have the chance of giving your kids something better. And that was what Musa alayhi salam was prepared to do, and that was what he did. Full father mode. You see throughout the story of Musa alayhi salam this kind of two-directional relationship with virtue. He's put in situations that require virtue, but he's also put in situations where it draws the virtue out of him. It asks him to reach up and to grab onto that next rung that's just a little bit higher, to keep on climbing to the next level and the next level and the next level. This is what we have to do for our kids. We have to give them that ladder to climb. Life can't just be video games until you're 18 and now it's time to become a doctor. That's not a ladder. It's being responsible for things. It's being able to have skills. It's being able to know what's right and wrong and to help the ones even younger than them. Every 10-year-old in here is a superstar to every 6-year-old in here. Every 14-year-old in here is a superstar to every 10-year-old in here. You've got people watching you, looking up to you. And so as a community, when we actually facilitate these relationships and they take on responsibility, it actually calls them to act better and to act more responsible. For men to make it work, okay, I'll say one more thing. I have this somewhat controversial part that sometimes I leave out, but I'll mention it for you guys. We started talking about the war on men that we exist, that we see in the society. Part of the war on men is the idea of removing them from their positions of power. If in mirath, in inheritance law, we have a brother that gets twice as much as his sister, the modern response to that, well, we got to make it equal. We got to make it equal. This is not fair. Without realizing that the reason that somebody has a privilege is because they have an extra duty. That every single privilege comes with a responsibility and a duty. And that when we remove people from their place of responsibility and duty, we actually impoverish them and take away their ability to be righteous and to righteously wield the power that they have. Martin Lings, who wrote the famous autobiography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has an amazing quote in a different book where he says that, imagine that a young boy becomes king when his father dies. And his father, he has his cloak and he has his robe and it's big and it's flowing. He asks, and the question is rhetorical, do you cut the robe to fit the boy? Or do you help the boy grow up into the robe? We have young men and young women that they need to be allowed to grow into the robes. They need to be put on a trajectory, a path of purpose, so that they can fulfill what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them to, not to remove the responsibility from them, not to save them from hardship and being tested, but rather to expose them to tests in a controlled way that's going to bring out the best of them. How did Musa alayhi salam do it? If Musa alayhi salam is a success story of male development or of human development, how did he do it? He did it with two things. He did it with being connected to his Lord and with good role models. Connected to his Lord how? If you want to track another development of Musa alayhi salam, check his confidence level from the beginning of the story to the end. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commissions him, the burning bush, and tells him he's going to be a prophet, what is his response? In both Surah Taha and Surah Al-Qasas and elsewhere in the Quran, his response is almost like, I don't think I can do this. I've got this problem with my tongue, and appoint Harun to help me. And he says, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي قَتَلْتُ مِنْهُمْ نَفْسًا فَأَخَافُ أَنْ يَقْتُلُونَ. He said, listen, I killed one of their guys. I'm afraid that they're going to kill me. He's not sure. He's not sure that he can do it. But then as Allah brings him along and he keeps climbing this ladder of development, the end of the story, he's completely different. They go through all the plagues. They go through everything. They reach the Red Sea. Fir'aun is in hot pursuit with all of his swords and henchmen and army and everything. And his people are freaking out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا تَرَاءَ الْجَمَعَانِ قَالَ أَصْحَابُ مُوسَىٰ إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ We're done for. They're going to catch us. And at this point, what does Musa alayhi salam say? قَالَ كَلَّا كَلَّا إِنَّ مَعِيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ Nope, Allah is with me and he's going to guide me. We go from doubting himself to trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa alayhi salam realized through his connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he didn't have to rely on himself. If he thought that he was going to be the one to do it, yeah. You can't trust yourself that much, but he figured out that he had to rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Allah is qadir ala kulli shay, that Allah can do whatever he wants. And he also did it with having support. That male figure that we mentioned. Mentors. People that are willing to see the value, even if you made a mistake, even if you have a history, to see the value and to take you and to say, you know what? I'm going to take this kid and I'm going to turn them into something. I'm going to develop them into something better. I see the potential. And every single person in this room has the ability to be that type of person to one of the young people in this room. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for success. And we ask him, Azza wa Jal, to protect our youth and to make them from among the righteous and to accept from us this small talk and to forgive us for any shortcomings. Barakallahu feekum, wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa barakallahu feekum wa taqabbalallahu minna wa minkum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So we have 5 minutes before we call the adhan. So if you guys have any questions pertaining to the topic, okay?